Hey, remember the 90s? Oh, that's when actors Ted Dykstra and Richard Greenblatt got together for a conversation about learning to play the piano. It's hard. The muscle memory, the physicality, the artistic nuance, the psychological rabbit holes. The duo put together a short piece for Tarragon Theater and Two Pianos, Four Hands was born. Suddenly, audiences could graft on their own experiences and live through the yearning, ambition, and motivations to go after your dreams. The Tarragon run garnered a Dora Award win for outstanding production, then a national tour from there off-Broadway in New York, the Kennedy Center in D.C., back to Toronto and the Royal Alex, then to Europe, London's West End, Japan, Australia, South Africa, and a farewell tour hitting major Canadian cities. Apparently, they toured with The Who those years, and now they're back. They're back at the Royal Alex, and for a run that marks 25 years since the debut, Mervish.com for tickets. Ted Dykstra, celebrated actor, writer, and director, currently co-founder and artistic director with Coal Mine Theater on the Danforth, founding member of Soul Pepper, along with a massive CV, including film, television, and theater credits. Richard Greenblatt, seven-time Dora Award winner, musician, actor, director, playwright, and author. He's been into books, and he's pushing into his sixth decade as a professional theater artist.
Yes. I'm exhausted just listening to all of that.
Richard Greenblatt, Ted Dykstra, a real pleasure. Welcome back to the New Classical FM.
Thanks so much.
Why does Two Pianos, Four Hands endure? What's the feedback you've received over the last 25 years that explains what the music and the message does for this audience, for these audience members?
Boy, you know, for me, it comes down to people see themselves and they want to talk about themselves after they see the show.
Right.
They don't so much want to talk about us. I mean, it's not that they don't like us or think we're great, but they want to talk about themselves.
They see their dreams.
Yeah, and I even had a good friend. He said, man, it just took me back to my son and I talking about math and going to the right school and all the things. He said, it's just so spot on. And he went with his son, who's 20. So it's the idea of trying to get really good at something and be the best at something is the seed, I think, that feeds the show. And where you are at the end of that, if you're not Vladimir Horowitz and you play the piano quite well, what does it matter? Why do you do it? What's the point of it?
Early on, there was a good friend of ours who's a tennis player, and he said the play's about tennis. And every single scene we had about the piano and music, he related to his life. And I think the major key as a theater artist is to be a specific, tell specific stories, true, obviously, with as much skill and talent as you can. The audience then relates that specificity to their own lives without feeling, you know, they're being talked down to or prescribed as to what they feel or should think. There was a lot of also serendipity. You know, we were a good fit for this show. It was just like the perfect storm.
Sort of an instant success, too. I mean, it just resonated right away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is also unusual. And the fact that it was relatively painless to create.
Right.
It was, you know, we had the right collaborators. We had the right period of time in which to create it. It was a great serendipity. And then it kept growing, and we kept working on it. But we're both kind of perfectionists, and we just kept trying to make it better even after we opened.
Right.
We kept honing it and, you know, cutting things that were unnecessary or changing things. We still do today.
So, I mean, we're hearing a little bit about what people are taking away. For those maybe who haven't seen it or trying to remember exactly how this works, I mean, remind us sort of the arc of the show.
Well, it sort of begins with a tip of the hat to Victor Borg and the kind of classical music comedy world. These two concert pianists come out and they sit down and
right.
Funny things
ensue.
Happen, ensue. Thank you. I was looking for that word. They can't play at all. Like, they lose the ability to play. And so it goes back to playing a scale with one finger. And then we start with lessons, a five-year-old and a teacher, a five-year-old and a nun. And every scene, we're either Richard or Teddy and a teacher. It's a progression of learning this instrument and having a relationship with this instrument at five, then at 10, then at 12, then at 17, and then as we are today.
Yep.
One of the reasons we can still do it today, being as old as we are, is the last scene is us as we are today.
Right.
So we're not Yul Brynner and the King and I. We're actually
right.
We're actually our own age, and we don't have to pretend that we're young or anything like that. And we're looking back at our whole lives and our relationship with the piano.
We didn't have to be tied to a traditional narrative structure where there had to be a consistency and an arc. Although we wanted some things, like there was an emotional climax that we would imagine. There wanted to be some kind of resolution. So we just created a whole bunch of scenes and said, okay, how do they fit in together? It just somehow all added up to stuff. And so, and we also knew that the music would be our guide a lot of the time. We both had repertoire that we loved, that we wanted to play, or things we had always wanted to play but never had, or something. So that was the other great discovery, was that music would be the connective tissue. It could take us wherever we wanted to go.
I remember having Eric Peterson in here, and he's been able to dip back into Billy Bishop over and over and over again, and it's just been that sort of success for him. And this is kind of in the same world, where you're able another look at it and remold it into where you are.
They beat us to New York. They were the first Canadian duo.
Oh, yeah.
And they also were in the West End where we were. So it's like we followed them all these years later. And I actually directed 5 productions of it with him and John.
So, wow. So that's kind of informative to what you do, too.
Very, very much so.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, when I wrote this book that I have just now out called Two of the Best in the Neighborhood, which is about the history of the show, I got Eric to write a blurb for it. And it, again, it's like he totally relates to it.
Of course.
As being his journey as well.
Good to be back in the Royal, Alex. You're pretty familiar with that space.
I love that theater.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's got so much history. And for a big space, it's extremely warm.
Yeah.
And you really feel the audience's presence.
If you're just joining us, Richard Greenblatt, Ted Dykstra are here, the celebrated theater mavens on stage at the Royal Alexandra through July 17th, performing the 25th anniversary production.
I hate to correct you, but it's actually 26 years.
Now, I had 26, but I'm just reading the literature.
Yeah, the literature is wrong.
Now, I did realize, though, that
extra
it was 26 year
is
years.
Very important, Mark. Yeah.
Two pianos, 4 hands. Tickets at Mervish.com. Let's talk about the idea of ambition and striving to be more and follow a dream. This has been an interesting experiment in that it starts with this goal and then becomes this international success story. So you guys have kind of been rock stars. You've been out on tour as musicians in a way. So you've sort of fulfilled the dream.
Yeah.
You're also at different places in your life, you know, where your ambitions might lie. And maybe your head is in a different place than when you started.
Well, it's very meta, really, because what happened with the show is exactly what the guys set out to do in the play. Not us. I don't think we ever thought we were going to be professional classical musicians at the level that we know exists, especially listeners of this station.
Right.
But we did set out to be the best at something, which is to be the best actors who play the piano that you know, so that piano players go, he's a really good actor.
Right.
And actors go, he's a really good piano player. And so we climbed our own mountain, and we're standing on top of our own mountain that lots of people can't climb because it's so tailor-made to exactly what we do, which is kind of a trick, really.
Right.
So we do get to come out in tuxes and bow in front of grand pianos in the Royal Alexandra Theater.
That is a trick.
People paid to come and listen to us play. Yeah. We play our very best. Unfortunately, at the end, as we say, we're two of the best in the neighborhood. And that's the nicest thing you could say about our piano playing.
And which also, I believe, is a celebratory notion. As our friend, the tennis player, was saying, you know, how he related the show to himself. So he was like the Manitoba Junior Tennis Champion. So does that mean he doesn't play once he gives up playing tennis? Does that mean he doesn't play tennis? As a matter of fact, he plays all the time with our producer, Rob Richardson, who's sitting right over there.
Right.
So this guy still obviously plays tennis, or a hockey player who doesn't make it to the NHL still is in a beer league on a Wednesday night. And so just because you don't make it as a classical pianist, the music still belongs to you as much as it does to Horowitz or Gould or anybody else. And if you want to play it, you deserve to play it and enjoy it and for yourself. If nobody else.
You're with the Oasis here on the New Classical FM. Ted Dykstra, Richard Greenblatt are here in studio, both on stage with the Mervish production of Two Pianos, 4 Hands. And it is time for 5 questions, a little rapid fire. Hope you're ready, guys.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All right, here we go. The rider at the Tarragon versus the rider now. How has it changed after 26 years?
There is no comparison.
We're so well taken care of by our producers, Rob Richardson and Colin Rivers, Marquee Entertainment, and the Mervishes.
So no longer just tap water and dry salt crackers.
That's correct. There's no comparison.
All right.
There's no comparison.
And the theater doesn't, like, at the Tarragon, if you flush the toilet during the show, you can hear it on stage.
Yeah. And the train goes by.
Nothing against the Tarragon.
Yeah. Nothing. I love that theater, but
we also don't have to share a dressing room.
Nice.
So. One place you would have liked or still would like to travel with this show?
New Zealand.
Holland.
All right. Two excellent answers. I like to go to both those places. The most annoying thing about the other guy.
Where to begin?
Can't even start. I think we're too polite to do that to each other.
You're not
going to
do it?
Richard, go ahead.
Okay, well, I mean, trying to get Ted sometimes into the here and now can be a struggle. And his mind is, shall we say, scatological.
We need to find the present.
That's right. We need to find sometimes the present. He's very often present.
See, ironically, it's my being present that he's referring to.
Right.
That he wants to drag me out of the present into his reality.
Yeah.
Is that the most annoying thing about
That's definitely.
All right. I love it. Yeah. Works. Yeah. The most challenging piece or portion you play in Two Pianos, Four Hands?
The Bach. The minor piano concerto. Yeah,
I remember when you were last here, you were dreading having to get
your chops together.
It's an 8.5-minute piece that we play at
the
end.
It's 8.5 now.
Yeah, right. After running around, I always say...
He didn't have a time signature a lot of the time, so you're fine. Yeah.
We run around for 2 hours like idiots, and then we sit down and play this monster of a piece, which has a lot of notes. As John Kimura Parker, who's a bit of a fan of the show...
Just here.
Yeah, and he just said, well, you know, you guys are brave. I don't play Bach by memory in public anymore. It's just too many notes. And we sit there and play it by memory, and needless to say, we are not perfect every night. So it's not just the physical aspect of it, it's also the mental aspect of it.
The reason you both keep coming back to it, besides the big bucks.
The big bucks.
All right, the big bucks it is.
No, it's, you know, we wrote something that the demand is there, and it's something that only happens to, what, 5 or 10 Canadian theater artists in one's lifetime, that you have a piece like this that people still want to see and they still are happy to see it. And I think we're grateful, and we're not phoning it in because it's ours. You know, it's not like we're doing something someone else wrote. And the music keeps us honest.
Keeps you very present.
You know, the Bach is waiting at the end of the night, and you're not going to escape
like a monster.
You know, with a phone call.
I just had somebody send me an email. Her last line of the email was, "I've seen this show about 5 or 6 times. I can see it every night." And I think there's a few people like that. Rob actually describes it as a Sunday that's also good for you. And like with your favorite movies or your favorite books, you don't just read them or watch them once, you go back to them. And I think for some people, our show is like that for them.
And then there's a whole new generation that weren't even alive when we first did it. So, you know, there's lots of people to do it for.
Yeah.
Someone just wrote us as well saying, they came, they loved it, and now they're going to bring their kids and come back.
Too much fun. Ted Dykstra, Richard Greenblatt, thank you for doing 5 questions, and we're looking forward to this run.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks. It's great to be here.